Hey, what's happening, everybody? I'm Larry Roberts, and this is another episode of the Readily Random Podcast.
Hey, you could be larger than life, bigger than the world, living out the hopes and dreams.
I don't know why you're not dancing with me. I see you. You're just sitting there. You're a bump on a log. What in the heck is going on? I don't understand it, man. You can have everything you want. You can be larger than life. How do you not dance to that song? That song is awesome. I chose it, so I'm tooting my own horn a little bit, but I don't mean to. I just love the song, and it gets me going. It gets me fired up. It gets me ready to do another awesome episode of the Readily Random Podcast. Here we are, and today I have, is it Randall or Randy? Which do you prefer?
Randall's my full name, but I go by Randy on everything.
All right, so it's Randy Santel. And Randy is he's an interesting cat, man, because he's kind of got this dichotomy going where he's a championship, what do you call it, eater?
I go by a professional eater. You can be pretty much a competitive eater, or I go by a professional eater because I don't really get into eating contests like people watch on the 4th of July, the big hot dog contest. I pretty much do food challenges like on that old Travel Channel show, or I guess they rebooted it recently, but the show Man vs. Food. I've done food challenges all over the world, all 50 states, and then in 37 countries. The goal is to get 1,000 wins in all 50 states and then 50 countries. So a couple years left to go.
Wow, that is amazing. So I love the fact that you do the challenges, because everywhere you go, somebody's got a challenge. You got even the chains have these eating challenges that you can undertake. But one of the things that blew my mind about you is that although you have all these accolades in the professional eating category, you're also very fitness conscious, and somehow working out and eating are both your passions.
Yes. Back in 2012, I started on a path. I'm pretty much using all of the food challenges and everything to help grow all my social media and my community, because I just really enjoy the food challenges and everything that's around them. But I just finished up last May school in order to become a registered dietitian. To be an RD, you have to do a full dietetics degree from an accredited program. And then you've got to do a 1,200-hour dietetic internship and then pass the credentialing test in order to become a dietitian. So I've done the schooling. My first degree I got back in 2008. It was in construction management. And then I retired from that in 2013. And have been doing the food challenges since 2010. But in 2022, I'll finally be a dietitian, I think. And then I'll move on to transition all my social media over to being the number one social media dietitian in the world.
That is amazing. Now, you said 2022, you've been to school. Well, help me understand the lag time between there.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I originally planned to do my internship right after schooling, but I decided that I would get a lot of negativity and drawback from my goal is to win 1,000 food challenges, and I can become a dietitian and then finish up doing all the food challenges. Or since I'm not really in a rush, I can do the food challenges and then it'd be more efficient to do that than do the internship. So I've committed to pretty much doing full-time food challenges until about July 2021. And then I'm going to really halt it back because I'll have to start my internship, which will be August 2021. And then about 9 months later, I'll be done with that. And then I can do one final world tour. And then I'll be pretty much retired and move on to all the dietetic stuff.
Yeah, so I can kind of see where there would be a conflict of interest billing yourself as a dietitian, yet at the same time undertaking all these food challenges.
Correct. Yeah, I would definitely not be embodying what dietitians preach.
Yeah, it's funny because back when I used to own a karate school, and that's all I did for years was karate. I made zero money, but I had fun. So, but I looked at becoming a personal trainer as well. And, you know, getting certified as a personal trainer is really not that difficult. Just read the book.
No, it's really not, and right. Especially depending on who you go through.
Well, my thing is back then, I'm 6'3". And I weighed 155. So now I can make the ladies go, hey, I want to look like this guy. But for me to get a dude and go, yeah, dude, we can bulk you up. You know, well, then why are you 6'3" and 155? It just doesn't work. You know, you're not going to convince anybody that you're the cat daddy if you can't implement it yourself. And I can see that same example being utilized there in the dietitian.
Did you
space.
Ever go through and get certified?
I did not. I did not okay. because I was talking to the guy that was a personal trainer. Oh, I had several personal trainer friends, but I went into business with a guy that was a personal trainer. And although I did private training at the school, I didn't ever get my certification because of that fact. We were just, you're going to have a hard time, bro. Because at the time, man, I had a coach and I was doing like 10,000 calories a day. And I was going to the gym at 4 a.m. and I was working out one-on-one with my strength and conditioning coach, trying to put on mass. And dude, it just wasn't going to happen. And then, you know, I got sober, like I mentioned, 6 years ago, and I have since put on mass. Not the kind of mass I was looking for, but, you know, I put on some mass, so it's interesting. But yeah, man, so that's where we're going with that. Tell us more, man, about, because I'm a huge, I consider myself a television foodie, okay? I do have my five foods, essentially, that I eat, and it might be more than five, but I'm a very finicky eater. So the challenges and that sort of thing really aren't for me, but I love watching them. And, you know, I mean, probably if you go in there right now, my wife's probably on the Food Network, okay? So
yeah, I know a lot of people that watch that.
Yes, I used to love it. And, you know, I'm kind of burnt out on Guy Fieri, but, I made it for a while there. I was traveling the country, and I made sure that wherever I went, I found a Triple D location that I would go and eat at. I thought it was cool. But,
nice, okay.
But what got you into eating, and what made you go, man, this is where I need to be. This is life.
Well, I started, like I said, I got my first degree in construction management back in 2008, and it really didn't take me too long to realize that I just didn't really like it that much. So I was looking for other outlets on stuff that I did enjoy, and I played 4 years of high school football,
yes.
And then I played football for 3 years at Missouri State University, where both of my degrees are from, but I've always been a bigger offensive lineman with never really had any speed. So I started looking into spending time working on my nutrition and diet and my fitness so that I could get my weight back down to a healthier weight. Did you ever watch the show Spartacus on the Stars Network?
Bet your ass I did. It's one of my favorite shows ever.
Oh, good, 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 good. Okay. Well, yeah, in 2010, Spartacus teamed up with Men's Health Magazine, and they put on a 12-week Spartacus body transformation contest.
Okay.
And I ended up competing in that, and I won.
Wow.
So in September 2010, I got flown to Auckland, New Zealand to appear on the set of that. So I got to meet, I sat on Lucy Lawless's lap.
Nice.
I actually got to meet Andy Whitfield before he died.
Yeah, that's such a terrible story, man. Andy was great. He was so great. And just to have, just for that to happen, and then for him to think that he was over the hump there and he was in the clear.
Over the hump.
Yeah, over the hump and in the clear. It comes back even worse than before.
It just came back even way worse.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible story. He was spectacular in the role, and I'm sure he seemed like a great guy, even in interviews.
He was. Yeah, I got to eat lunch with him, and it was a real pleasure to speak with them and meet with them. But after doing that body transformation contest, it was pretty much just 11 weeks of just straight, consistent diet and exercise. So to celebrate, my buddy that was helping me with it, he asked me to do a pizza challenge with him. He had lost a challenge called the Pointersaurus. It's a 28-inch, two-topping, 11-pound pizza in St. Louis. And he lost it with a partner previously. So I decided to celebrate pretty much the end with him. And a week after, we did that pizza challenge. And we ended up winning in 48 minutes. And I did really well with it. I probably ate about 6-7 pounds of pizza. And we got $500 for it. And I realized, hey, I'm pretty good at this. And I started looking at all these other food challenges, and pretty much exactly a month later, I went about an hour and a half away to Jefferson City in Missouri, and I did a pizza challenge that over 120 people had failed. I became the first person to win in 53 minutes, and I got $450 for that. So as far as the social media goes, my cousin actually just happened to be off work the day that we did our first pizza challenge, and he filmed it and just... he was okay at editing, just put it all together into like a 10-minute video. And just so I could post it somewhere, I developed a little YouTube channel and put it up on there. And a couple hundred people watched it. And they're like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. You should try some more. And then on my second one, I figured, hey, I filmed the first one. I might as well film the second. And then so I did that, and I had my same cousin edit it. And then number 3, 4, and 5, I got on Craigslist and had some girl do it for like $20 a video. And then after that, I decided, hey, I'm going to get serious about this. This is fun. I'm going to have to teach myself to edit. And then I edited the first probably 100 videos after that. And then in 2013, it just got too much. And my I have two full-time editors now, one of them being Mitch Dombrowski, who also does food challenges. But he started with me in 2013 and has been doing helping me with everything since.
I talk about social media a lot on the show. And I think that's one of the keys to social media success is video. You got to have video these days, guys. Everybody out there can get on Facebook. They can run some game on Facebook. But until somebody sees you, hears you, and emotionally connects with you visually, they feel like they get to know you, and then they have faith in you and they have confidence in you. Then they start to follow you. Then they start to buy your products. Then they start to send you to the next level as far as your social media is concerned.
Yeah, you can usually tell a lot quicker whether or not somebody's genuine and passionate about things by listening to them and watching them on video as well, both at the same time. And that's the big thing with dietetics, is you can go all over social media and all of the people on video giving out nutrition information are mostly fitness-oriented people. Mm-hmm. There's not really any dietitians on social media. So on the day I become a dietitian, like I said, I'll be the number one followed on all video platforms in the world as far as dietetics goes. So it'll be, I always say with great, I mean, it's from Spider-Man, but with great power comes great responsibility. So I'll be taking a lot of responsibility on my shoulders once that time comes. So I'm taking these few years to get ready for all that.
That's cool, man. And you know who Tom King is?
I do not know.
He essentially came up with the keto diet. He founded the keto diet. He's been on my show before, and so I was talking to him, and we went over some of the same or similar information. Of course, he had a different take on it than you do. He's not a social media expert or an influencer in that regard, but from a dietary perspective.
Well, he's inspired a lot of people to talk about keto on their social media.
He sure has. But yeah, man, check out. You want to hear some cool stuff? Check him out, man. He hit me pretty hard on that podcast there. It was good.
Good.
But let me ask you this: What? Because you mentioned that your food challenges are more, you know, eat whatever in X amount of time. Have you ever competed in a like the hot dog? Like, who is it? Kobayashi, wasn't he the cat daddy? And now there's somebody new that's on the scene.
Kobayashi, I mean, was probably like, I'd say 11, 12 years ago.
Oh, see?
Joey Chestnut's won like for like 9 of the past 10 years, maybe even 10 years. He's only lost one since he started winning.
Wow.
But no, I've never competed against really anybody like that. I don't really, like I said, I don't really get too involved with the eating contest just because there's a whole lot more. Actually, no, I will say this. Food challenges have always been my niche. Most people that get into all this, they want to do the eating contest. They want to be on ESPN on 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And even if they're 9th place, it's just special for them to be on 4th of July on ESPN.
Sure.
I've always just done food challenges. So pretty much if you're going to watch a Randy video, you know you're getting a food challenge. So that's been, and as the owner of foodchallenges.com, it's my website where we have over 100 articles on where everybody can find tips to train, strategize, and just overall dominate food challenges.
You mentioned there's tips on how to train and all that fun stuff. How do you train? I mean, can you stretch your stomach or something? I mean, how does that work?
That's one of the things that actually got me really excited and really focused on doing all this is when I went to get ready for my very first food challenge, there wasn't anything that I could find on the internet. So actually my first website was randysantel.com. And I started that after I had, I think about 100 food challenge wins, maybe only 75. But on that, I had a whole section on just basic tips on what I do to train and get ready for everything. On foodchallenges.com, all that's expanded. Like I said, there's over 100 articles on the site. But pretty much, I don't really do any of this now. But back in the day, I mean, my stomach's just readily more expanded than it was. But to train early on in the days, I would eat like 20 hours before a food challenge. I would eat about 12 to 13 pounds of watermelon.
Mm.
So, or else I would, if I was pretty good on calories and my weight was all doing fine, I would go to like a pizza buffet. Or I would go to a salad bar buffet at the grocery store or something like that and I would just eat as much as I could to get my stomach as maxed out as I could before I pretty much just fasted the rest of the time. And then hopefully if my stomach allowed me and everything, and I guess my intestines, but the goal is to be empty when it comes time to eat.
Right. I can only imagine. So how many restaurants did you get kicked out of? They see you come and they're like, no, no more Randy.
You know, I've actually never gotten kicked out of a buffet or anything like that.
Oh, that's
I've never
cool.
even been looked at or talked to or anything.
Oh, man, I would imagine. And we've seen it in TV shows and movies and whatnot, you know, especially like the Chinese restaurants that have the buffets and you can just come in and just gorge yourself. And they go, no more. Get out.
Yeah. No, you hear about that. But when I go to a buffet, I mean, I kind of have headphones on and I kind of just sit by myself. And most of the ones I go to, they're usually not that attended.
Mm-hmm.
So really, the restaurants are almost happy that they're not throwing it away.
That's nice. So you're doing a community service as well. I mean, that's a bonus.
Yes. Minimizing waste. Yes.
Exactly. I love it. So what would be the most difficult challenge that you completed? Is it a hot challenge? Is it a size challenge? What is it?
I would definitely say that the quantity challenge is the hardest because those are both mentally and physically taxing. The spicy challenges, they do suck physically. I mean, they're hot, but really it's the mental side of everything because once you just, your mouth goes numb and everything, it's pretty much all mental because really, you know, you're not going to die or you're not going to get hurt or anything. You just got to survive it mentally. But with food challenges, I mean, you really have to, with quantity challenges, you really have to dig deep. I've done a couple challenges around 9 to 9.5 pounds.
Wow.
And when it comes down to that, I mean, we're talking bent over with one hand on the table. Just, I mean, even one wrong movement or one wrong bite, you're talking just throwing everything up. So you really just have to be careful not to make a wrong move and just don't try to force it down. Try to eat as fast as you can if you know you're doing a big challenge, because probably those last pounds, you're going to need to just let your body just relax and let it all go in.
I can't even fathom that you're talking about those last, not one or two, the last pounds, plural.
Oh, yes.
Are the most difficult, the last pounds. That is insane. I can't even imagine it. But one of the things that you said that I think is really, really cool and that I kind of want to stress, and it can be applied to all different aspects of life, is the mental aspect of it. If you have that attitude of perseverance and you have that no quit attitude and you can find your happy place in your head, that allows us so many times to take things to the next level. For instance, I mentioned that I was 155 when I was the karate guy. I once at 155 pounds, I broke over 2.5 feet of concrete with one hand, with one strike. Quack-a-cow. Right?
Wow.
Pretty impressive, if I do say so myself, right? At $1.55.
I agree. I wouldn't try it.
Well, I wouldn't try it today. That's for dang sure. But the point I'm making there is that I built up to that, of course, but it was up here that I believed more so that I could do it than I ever thought I couldn't. And I think that translates the same way to any kind of challenge that really pushes us to the edge of our, not only our willpower, but even our physical capacity. But if we change our mental space, we change our thought process, we can take it even further than we ever imagined.
Yeah. I mean, it's very cliche to, you know, the quote, hey, whether you believe you're right or wrong, you're right.
Yeah, definitely.
It's pretty much with food challenges. And one of our mottos with foodchallenges.com is the phrase, win before you begin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And pretty much with that, the three words are train, strategize, dominate. So if your body's trained and physically ready and you've got a mental strategy of how you're going to go about doing it, you're able to have the confidence that you're going to dominate. And I mean, just going back and looking back at all of my challenges, a lot of the ones I lost, I wasn't sure that I was going to win before I even started.
It's funny you say that because I used to compete. I used to fight also as a kickboxer. And then I did some really early MMA back in the days before it was MMA. It was still called NHB.
And before it got cool.
Yeah. Before it got cool. I mean, I was doing it in, I saw it in November of 93 and I was probably in somebody's backyard in December of 93. We were just having a good time with it. It was just fun. You know, there was no hostilities or nothing. We were just competing. So, but my point that I'm driving home here is that as a kickboxer, I always had confidence in my striking skills. And I've said this, I don't know how many times, I won the fight at the weigh-ins. I won the fight before I even got in the ring because I was mentally prepared. I knew I had physically prepared. And when I looked at my opponent, I said, there's no way they trained as hard as I did. There's no way they're ready for this like I am.
Well, you've read Sun Tzu's book, right?
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah, okay, most definitely. Yeah. Book of Five Rings, Sun Tzu, you name it. I've read them all.
Yeah, because, I mean, he talks about all that. You win the fight before the war even starts.
Exactly. Now, in direct contrast to that, when I fought MMA, I didn't have much of a ground game because I was in a small town up in North Texas, and jiu-jitsu just hadn't hit the market yet. So we were up there watching videos and, you know, paying overpriced prices for Gracie jiu-jitsu videos, and we were trying to teach it to ourselves. And I went to my first competition in Houston. It was the Houston Valley Tudo, was what they called it. Valley Tudo in Portuguese means no rules. And I got on the mat, and I saw the guy I was fighting. And at least they gave us weight classes at this particular competition, because most of the time back then, you didn't even have weight classes. But I looked at this dude, and again, 6'3", 155. This dude's 155, but he's jacked. He's like 4'8", and he's just a wall of muscle. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I knew what school we trained with, and I was like, oh, my God, their ground game. This guy's going to have a ground game. It didn't last 30, 45 seconds, and I got choked out with a triangle choke, which is between the legs type scenario. But the bottom line is I got choked out, and I was telling myself before we even competed, dude, you're going to get choked out probably. And I sure as hell did. And that's the difference, man, is that my mental state was so different in my kickboxing as compared to my MMA that I was losing before I got in the ring for MMA, and I was winning before I got in the ring in kickboxing. And it's the same way with your challenges, and it's the same way in so many things. I don't care what your hobby is or what your profession is or what it may be. Whatever your niche is, that holds true across the board.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, any kind of achievement is usually mindset.
Yeah, 100%.
And any high performers, I mean, it's their mindset that gets them there.
What would be the hottest? I'm just curious that, because I'm sitting here and I have some Satan's blood. And I don't know if you've ever had Satan's blood, but it's 2 million Scoville units. Very, very hot stuff. When I do my Satan's blood, which is very, very rare, I tend to go into kind of feels like I'm getting high. You know, I get a rush because of the heat, because of the pain. And it's
probably all the endorphins, right?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. You know, it's kind of fun to do it. Not very often, but it's kind of fun. What was the hottest challenge that you ever did?
Well, let's first clarify that for all the people listening that that only applies for him, not me. Many, many years ago, and this actually ruined my mental mindset with spicy food challenges, is I did a 10-wing challenge in St. Louis, Missouri, or O'Fallon, Missouri. It had 10 wings just totally covered with Trinidad Moruga scorpion sauce.
Oh, God.
Which is like the step below Carolina Reaper peppers.
Yeah.
And it took me about 2.5 minutes to eat these wings. It took me about 2 hours to be able to save face and walk out of the bathroom.
Wow.
I was miserable. Right after I won the challenge, I said, I have to get out of here.
So it was mental, but you powered it down in like 2.5 minutes, you said. And then
I wanted the win. I wanted that win. But then once that win was done, no ice cream was able to help that.
There wasn't no milk. There wasn't enough milk in the house.
No.
That's hilarious.
Until I ended up finally throwing it all up, my body was miserable.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And I did it for like $250.
And
I'm sitting there with my head in the toilet, and my dad comes in and he says, was it worth it? I said, ask me that after I'm okay.
Oh, man, just straight up. No, it's not worth it at all.
It would take me a couple thousand dollars minimum to have any desire to do like a Carolina Reaper pepper challenge or something like that. I mean, I know it would get views, but just I know what that would feel like. Even hotter than that day, and I just don't. I don't want that. I've mentally lost before I've begun.
That is too funny. do people come to you and look for sponsors from, like, look for you to sponsor their events or sponsor you to come to their events?
There's not anybody that wants me to sponsor events. I have some people message me, hey, how can I become a sponsored person, part of the foodchallenges.com team? And I mean, most of those people don't even have, like, even really any food challenge wins. So I kind of just say we're already taken care of. But yeah, I mean, we have restaurants all the time wanting me to come do their challenges. So I have a team that puts together my schedule and my events and everything called Further You. And my friend's one of the owners. I'm actually going on a cruise with him this weekend, but they pretty much take care of my schedule. So they actually, the team openly calls restaurants as well, trying to get everything set up based on where we want to go.
That's cool, man. That is extremely cool. You know, and it's funny because everybody wants to be sponsored no matter what they're doing. But just like you said, yeah, you got to lay the groundwork first, folks. You know, people come to me, Larry, how do I get my podcast sponsored? Well, maybe record more than 3 episodes. That'd be a good start, you know?
Yeah, people want what I have now.
Exactly.
Not realizing that in March is my 10-year anniversary.
And that's so true across the board, man, is that people think that you're celebrity or you've reached some sort of even pseudo-celebrity status, that you just woke up the next day and suddenly, oh, I'm the cat daddy. And it just doesn't work that way, man.
Well, and I know you know this too with podcasts, because, I mean, how many podcasts are there now? But it is way harder to start, whether it's a podcast, a Facebook page, a YouTube channel. It is way harder to start it today than it was 10 years ago back when I started mine.
Yeah, most definitely. And things evolve and the game changes and the game evolves. And
we were posting videos on YouTube like 3 years before YouTube on Facebook. We were posting videos for like 3 years on Facebook before Facebook actually started monetizing videos. So we were actually one of the first channels to be in their beta program to be monetized.
Wow.
So people want like that now, like we're about to hit 1 million in a couple of weeks on that. And all my friends are still, I mean, under 10,000. And I tell them, hey, you need to get onto Facebook. But then at the same time, it's way harder now that everybody knows how good it can be and everybody's trying to do it.
Right. Well, what I'm seeing and what I've been working on over the past, I don't know, month maybe, is starting to lay the foundation for TikTok. Do you see any value in TikTok for what you're doing, and have you embraced it yet?
I actually have not. I've had a couple people tell me to, but my baby is pretty much the YouTube channel and Facebook page. And TikTok is, I mean, even just Instagram itself is kind of, I treat it like a stepchild. So TikTok, there's just not enough time.
No, and that's,
I mean, it might be nice. And yeah, I mean, it's the same with Snapchat. I mean, yeah, do you know how much time it takes to be good at 4?
Right, exactly.
I mean, I get hundreds of messages a week just on, and we're not even talking comments, just on Facebook, Instagram, stuff related to YouTube, emails, to try to do TikTok as well. That's just crazy.
You know, and the craziest thing is that it's reinforced on so many levels with other entrepreneur coaches or business coaches. You know, take Gary Vee. Everybody knows Gary Vee. You know, he says you need to do 40 pieces of unique content a day across platforms. Doesn't matter what platform. 40 pieces of content? Seriously? You know, I mean, I can't even come up with that much content, honestly. Even if I tried, I can't come up with 40 unique pieces.
Well, it depends on your personality, too, because, yeah, I mean, right now, like, I'm on a 12-week break, losing weight and stuff. Half the 22 hours of my day are just boring as shit. I might post like the end of a workout, my results or something, but there's no reason for me to just sit here with my phone Snapchatting random crap. I mean, my feeling is people have better things to do, or they can go check out somebody else's random crap.
Take a picture of your food, right?
Post the good stuff.
Everybody that goes to lunch has to take a picture of their lunch, no matter. You can be back at KFC and go, oh, I got all these wings today, chink. And for some reason, that's everybody loves doing that. But you don't know why. What's the point? Just like you said, it makes no sense. There's no value in that post. No one gives a shit that you're sitting at KFC eating KFC wings. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. So,
And then I always with YouTube and Facebook, our videos are all monetized,
right?
All of this stuff, I mean, you can make money on Instagram and all the others, but I mean, you really got to hustle.
So you mentioned YouTube is one of your primary platforms, and they recently changed the rules on YouTube to, what is it, COPPA? They have the COPPA now that's in place.
Yeah, where everything has to be related to the kids' protection, yeah.
Yeah, so has that impacted you at all, or have you made any changes to address that, or?
Well, we're family friendly. We're for all, everybody in the family. We're not directed at kids. So, I mean, we're full monetized. We haven't had any videos get unmonetized or anything like that. But YouTube overall has taken a big hit in general. Our channel is down from what it was. And especially now, I mean, at the beginning of the year, the better months for social media video platforms are October, November, December, because holiday ads and everything, that the CPMs are higher.
Sure.
So right now everything's kind of down, but we have a lot. We've had a big dip in new subscribers and stuff. And I know a lot of other channels have too. So that's what's good for us, is we're diversified with a big platform on Facebook too. So we're fortunate in that regard for sure.
That's awesome. And something that you mentioned there where the CPMs are down. And for some of my listeners, they may not know what CPMs are, but it's cost per mille is what CPM stands for. It's essentially cost per thousand, I would assume, on YouTube is views. With podcasts, it's listens. And the pay structure is based on your CPMs.
Yeah, and all CPMs depend on the country. Like, that's what sucks. I have a lot of friends in like Singapore and Spain and Brazil and stuff. They have YouTube channels, but their CPM, I mean, they have to get so many more views to make the same amount of money as we do here in America or England, the UK or Australia or Germany, I think, are the top four. But wow. Yeah, no, it all depends on where your viewers are from as well.
Woohoo, USA, I love it. So Randy, man, America. Leave it. There you go, brother. So leave us with one little tidbit, man. What's the message that you want to get across? How is it that I managed to have the opportunity to talk to you today, and what was your goal for being on the podcast?
I would say that my big thing, doing social media to get famous is the worst thing ever. And I always just pity people that tell me they're starting, they just want to get famous. And it's about everything that I do is based on, I'm working to build all my social media so that I can really make a difference in the field of nutrition, to really impact people and help people with their weight management and all their goals and everything like that. So it helps me wake up every day and just do all of the work that it takes for all this social media, just day in and day out. Being a social media person is very difficult, especially when you get up to a higher level where you just have so many people to balance, and you still have to be able to focus on not only getting to other people, but also to doing more stuff so you can keep on growing. But I'm able to do that just because I know that all of this is going to build into what I can become and the impact that I'll be able to have as a registered dietitian on social media in the future.
Well, we can definitely benefit from more registered dietitians. There's no doubt about that. I could use one right now myself. So
I know a lot of the people that follow our videos are looking forward to all that.
So. Yeah, that's going to be awesome, man. That's good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, dietetics is like 95% women. So
really?
We definitely, yes, it's crazy. I graduated with 27 people total. There were three guys.
Wow.
And we actually had a bigger class than usual of guys.
Wow, that's amazing. So basically, if you want to find a wife, become a dietitian.
that's possible too.
Yeah, I dig it, man. I dig it. So, hey, man, what's your channel name? Where can people find you on social media? All that fun stuff.
Randy Santel. As far as I know, there's only one.
Okay.
So if you find another Randy Santel, let me know, because I've got to get rid of him.
I got to take him out.
If anybody wants to learn anything about food challenges, we have a global database of where they are all around the world. That is foodchallenges.com. But then all my videos, all my social media, everything's Randy Santel.
You have anything else lined up real quick?
I'm off for 10 weeks, and then we start back up in April. I'll be traveling all over the world. Like I said, I'm at 829 food challenge wins now. I just got back from Italy in January with my sister, where I did three challenges. But got to get to 14 more countries and then a whole lot just to get back to see all our subscribers in the United States. So a lot more upcoming over the next 17 months.
That's amazing. Well, we'll definitely keep up with you, man. And I appreciate you hanging out with us today. Give me just a minute. You got something else?
No, I was going to say good luck. I know in your emails you said you've got some public speaking coming up.
Yes.
I just wanted to say good luck with all that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to it.
That's actually what I'm wanting to get into in addition to stuff with the channels as a dietitian going around public speaking at conferences and stuff.
So. Dude, I can totally see that. You got the personality for it too, 100%, obviously. So that's
awesome.
That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, most definitely. So once again,
using your voice, I appreciate you having me on the show.
Hey, everybody. Thanks once again for listening to an awesome episode of the Readily Random Podcast. Randy brought it to us today with a massive challenge that I think each and every one of us can learn from. And that is to persevere. And that is to get in your mind frame or your mindset that's going to make you successful. Why would you have a professional eater on and talk about mindset? Because it all comes into play. No matter what you're doing, no matter what aspect of life you're in, no matter what your niche is as a business owner, as a podcaster, as whatever it may be, your mindset is what matters. So I'm going to leave you with that. Thank you so very much for listening, and we'll do it again next week. Thanks. Bye-bye. You could be